Last night, Donald Trump said he wants to temporarily stop immigration from, quote, some of the most dangerous and volatile regions of the world that have a history of exporting terrorism. What does he mean, and how would that affect us here in the Pacific Northwest? KUOW's race and culture reporter Liz Jones joins us. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Bill.
Trump would develop a list of places where people can't get visas to come here. What regions is he talking about?
Well, we don't have the details yet, and starting with the term regions is problematic in itself. Our immigration and visa system is really based on country-to-country relationships, so we can... It seems he would be talking about countries like Syria, where screening is currently difficult. That's been acknowledged by people as up to our FBI director, James Comey, saying we don't have U.S. forces on the ground there to help vet stories and check out the backgrounds. But that's also why the resettlement of Syrian refugees in this country has been pretty slow up until now. You might recall President Obama called for bringing in 10,000 Syrian refugees who fled the conflict there this fiscal year. That started off very slowly. It's currently starting to catch up. But you could look at this in different ways. It's difficult to figure out where Trump would want to draw this list from. Would you include foreign fighters in Syria, where those foreign fighters are coming from? That could include Saudi Arabia, Russia, Jordan. Some Americans are in that group, too. You could look at the State Department's annual report of global terrorist activity that includes 12 terrorist safe havens, Somalia, Mali, Libya, Egypt, the list goes on. You could look at nations where there are terror networks that are currently operating. Parts of Europe have suffered from homegrown terrorist activities. That would include Spain, Ireland, France, Norway. Those countries that currently enjoy visa-free travel to the U.S., it could be millions of people that we're talking about here. So it's difficult to figure out where he would draw the list, what source you'd be looking at. His team has promised more details in the days to come, but I think those details are going to be difficult to look at the reality of how our immigration system works and the people that are coming here.
And obviously all of this could be of great interest to people wondering whether friends or family might be affected by all of this. Liz, Trump also talked about doing extreme vetting for immigrants to, quote, ensure they share our values and respect our people. What is he advocating?
Well, we've got a couple of things here. We've got the extreme vetting portion of it. Then you have the values portion of it. So I guess looking at values, he's talked about values that are against bigotry and hatred. It raises some questions of how do you define that? How would you give an ideology test? Who would you give that to? How would you administer it? How do you define an immigrant? And it's difficult when you look at it on a country-by-country basis because we have individuals coming here seeking asylum, seeking refugee status, who are fleeing countries, fleeing bigotry and hatred. So you can't do it really on a country-by-country basis. It's more individualized than that. On the extreme vetting piece of it, presumably he's talking about beefing up background checks on everyone who comes here, trying to weed out foreigners who might be support radical Islamic terrorism. If you look specifically at refugees, this is one of the areas that we do get heavy screening on right now, and an area that Trump has called out for more screening. Just to hit on a couple points of how that works, it starts overseas. The UN High Commission of Refugees looks at the population of refugees that are even can be approved for resettlement in the U.S. About 1% of those people get approved. After that, refugees go through several layers of screening through different agencies, Homeland Security, FBI, State Department, Counterterrorism Center. Syrians get even an extra layer of screening after that to check out their stories, why they left, where they came from. Can you verify those stories on the ground? It's a lengthy process. On average, it takes 2 years. So how do you increase that vetting? It was increased after 9/11. Do you beef it up even more? I think that's raised a lot of questions that will still need to be answered in the days ahead.
Talking to KUOW's Liz Jones, and she is our race and culture reporter, and I want to touch on something else that Donald Trump said. He suggested that second-generation immigrants are especially dangerous. He said second-generation status is a common thread in many terrorist attacks that have happened. And you report on this these communities here. I wonder how you're reporting, what it tells you about how comments like this land with second-generation immigrants here in the Seattle area.
Yeah, it's a little tough to generalize, especially when you look at it country by country or culture by culture. But in general, you see a lot of first generation immigrants. Really, life is about survival here for that first year and kind of getting settled in. You stay under the radar a little bit more, that the wounds that you fled are still pretty fresh. So it's kind of just getting into life here. The second generation, born here, lived all their life in America, went to schools here, have friends here, live in our communities. They tend to be a little bit more vocal, more challenging of criticisms against their families, against their cultures, more likely to take political action more and more as those generations have more time here in the U.S. So it's not a quiet generation. Just one example we saw earlier this summer, we saw young Asian Americans writing letters to their own parents saying, here's why you should support Black Lives Matter, just as an example of them taking charge of situations or taking things into their own hands in a way maybe their parents don't feel empowered to do or might be a little more shy. They face consequences in their home countries when they spoke out against about their politics or religion or race.
Sure.
So they have this dual challenge, though, where I think second generation immigrants here do feel a sense of duty to their American culture here, grateful for this place that gave them a home. They know their parents' struggles, what they went through to come here, and then also feel a sense of duty to the culture they left behind, you know, that they value some aspects of that. So they're kind of in a middle place, but I think finding their voice.
In fact, right now you are following along with some refugee families who came to the Northwest recently, a family from Somalia, a couple from Iran, and a man from Burma. How is the current political climate affecting our refugees and immigrants?
Well, in these individual cases, I follow people who just landed here and sometimes don't have family already in the area, kind of starting out on their own. So as I mentioned, the first year here, first several years are often about survival, finding that job, learning English. Where do you live? How do you pay the rent? There's a lot of that. Politics are probably more on the margin. And again, fearful to speak out. There's some have talked to me about backlash they felt from their neighbors or from coworkers who might question why they're here, but far more say they feel welcome. And I think, you know, we live in Washington State, which has a long history of refugee resettlement here and a very welcoming community from the governor to employers to neighborhood groups here. So a lot of support for their resettlement. But they also worry about relatives that they left behind back in refugee camps or back in their home countries. Is the door going to be slammed on them? Are they going to be able to come here and join them? Or will they be forced back to the countries they fled in the first place? Speaking of Syrians in particular, I think this political debate has raised a lot of awareness about the plight of refugees and about where they come from, why they're coming. And I think I've seen more, at least here locally, people wanting to help. I think Syrians coming now are getting a lot of assistance, a lot of attention, a lot of help. There's a lot of other refugees from different countries who might not be getting quite the same, but it's out there. But just in neighboring states here too, Montana and Idaho, they've struggled with resettlement, and there's been a lot more of a clash of communities there opposing resettlement and those embracing it. So a little different here in Washington State. I think we're pretty open to it, but certainly around the country, seeing it going different directions.
We look forward to your reporting as you follow, as I mentioned, those recent immigrants here to the Northwest. That's our race and culture reporter, Liz Jones. Liz, thanks.
Thank you, Bill.